I'm going to pray because I'm a little nervous. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, God, that you have been on my heart for weeks about this message, Lord God. I thank you that you didn't leave me to it to myself, Lord, that you've given me some words to say. Father, I just pray that you be with us right now. Open our hearts to your word. Open our hearts to change, Lord, to be more like you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, so I'm talking about Jesus today. My husband, when he preaches, I always ask him, like, what are you going to preach on? And he's like, Jesus. And he never gives me any details. So today I'm preaching about Jesus. Amen. If you guys want to stand for the reading of the word, we're going to start in John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I don't think I said that right.
You said it perfect.
So, Jesus is the Word. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. So Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is God. So we could say, I don't know if you're allowed to do this for Scripture, but I went ahead and did it, going back to John 1. Next slide. In the beginning, Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Jesus, and without Jesus, not one thing came into being. So when we read that, we know that that's Jesus. In the beginning, God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1. I have to put your candy down here so I have room. Aww, I'm still going to eat it. It's going to be fine. So in the beginning, everybody knew that John was referring to Genesis. So all the good Jewish boys and girls knew when he said in the beginning that he's referring to creation and to Genesis and to God. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Jesus created. Jesus is our creator. Colossians 1:16 through 18 says, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn among from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Man, that's pretty deep. He's before all things, all rulers and powers and dominions. In him, all things hold together. So Jesus created the whole earth, everything in it. He created the moon and the stars. He created the seas and the mountains. He created the bugs and the animals. I was doing some research. I was thinking, what's my favorite, like, animal or bug or whatever, because I was just thinking all the different animals that he's made. Do you know that he made over 19,000 species of butterflies? I took this picture because I love green. 19,000 species of butterflies. Now, butterflies are pretty, but they are still just bugs, okay? So let's remember that, but there's so many of them, and they're so diverse and beautiful, and I think that that's what God does with us, you know? He makes us beautiful. This one's beautiful because she has such a kind heart. And this one's beautiful because she's so sweet. And this one's beautiful because he's so strong. I don't think he wanted to take the butterfly picture. So I've been called to preach. That's what I feel like God has called me to do. But I get really nervous about it sometimes. I, in fact, went to Pastor Raul because I had all this information that I was taking in. I was studying the scripture and about Jesus being our creator, and I just got really overwhelmed with, what do I say? Like, I want to tell everybody all these facts, and I was starting to get anxiety about it. And Pastor put it very simply. He said, what does it mean to you that Jesus is your creator? So that helped me out a lot. My anxiety went way down, praise God. And the first thing that came to my mind was my education, my mind. When I was little, my mom was in the kitchen, and she was cutting my little brother's hair. I was on the sofa. I was really, really sick. And I had hair, like, down past my bottom. And I said, Mom, can you cut my hair next? She knew something was wrong. So she scooped me up, and her and my grandfather rushed me to the hospital. I ended up having a grand mal seizure in the parking lot. I had spinal meningitis, and I almost died. I was 7. My grandma always tells me this story about how sharp I was before that seizure. How, oh, you would always get your letters right, and you could read, you could write, you were on it. She tells me this story all the time. Well, after that, I was in resource classes. I had to go in, while everybody would go and read the big books, I'd have to go into the library with a couple of other kids and read the little books, because I couldn't read. I couldn't comprehend. They call it reading comprehension back then. Today they call it ADD. But whatever you call it, I struggled. In fact, today some people make references to these like classic books that you're supposed to have read, and I'm like, I don't get it, because I didn't read them, because I was in resource with the other kids that couldn't read. So I immediately went to education, because Jesus isn't just our creator, he's our restorer. He's restorative. He takes what he created that has been damaged by sin, and he restores it to something brand new. Amen. He is amazing to do that. And so immediately comes to mind my education is, you know, I now have my bachelor's degree in behavioral health with emphasis on trauma, because God is good and he got me through that. And now I'm in my master's program for pastoral ministries. I still have to read things a couple times to get it, but praise God, I've got good grades so far, and he is good, and it's because of him. Because of him. But there's another thing you're supposed to do in addition to studying about your message. You're supposed to pray about it too. And so I wasn't supposed to tell you any of that stuff, so just scratch that education piece, because that's not what God wanted me to tell you. He wanted me to tell you about how I did not like his creation. In fact, I hated his creation. I hated two things, two people. And I use the word hate. It's a very strong word. I use it very lightly here, but I still feel led to use it. But I hated my mother. My mother was very sick with a mental illness. We call it in the business SMI, severe mental illness. And if you know anything about psychology and trauma, there's this thing called the ACE score. And that's basically an assessment that you take, and it asks you like a handful of questions, and you answer yes or no. If you answer a yes, you get a point. And however many points you have is your ACE score, and that's your trauma score. Well, one of the questions on there is, does your parent or your primary caretaker struggle with a mental illness? And I have to answer yes to that. So with that, growing up came all sorts of things that were traumatic. My mom was also acute enough to know that she needed to rush me to the hospital, right, when I got sick, so it wasn't all bad. But I hated my mom because I didn't understand that she was sick. All I saw was somebody that was mean and hateful and that slept all the time. Unless, of course, she had her friends over, but then when the drugs would run out and wear off, we were back to square one. So the second person I hated was myself. Because when I started to have mental health symptoms, I did not want to be like my mom. I wanted something very different for my life, and I couldn't control those mental health symptoms. So I interpreted it as I was a lazy and mean person. But did you guys know that there's a difference between sin and sickness? When you have lead feet, you feel like you have lead on your feet and you can't get out of bed, that's depression. That's sickness. That's not sin. The problem is when somebody's depressed, they normally beat themselves up about not being able to get out of bed and do the things that everybody needs to do. So I felt all these horrible things about myself. And I was angry at God because I didn't want to have a mental illness. I didn't want to struggle with anxiety and depression. I didn't want to be a mean person. But God is gracious, and He is so good. He's faithful to His creation. I got a job in mental health. I didn't know anything about mental health. I grew up thinking my mom made a choice to sleep all the time. I felt that she had abandoned me because she didn't want to be around me because she was asleep all the time. That's how I internalized that as a little girl. But then when I grew up and I got to become an administrative clerk in a mental health institute, I learned that those are mental health challenges that she was dealing with. She would tell me, I have a chemical imbalance in my brain. That didn't mean anything to me until later in life when I learned about it. And I realized that, you know, it wasn't that she made a choice to stay asleep all the time. It was that she was sick. God did eventually heal me, but not in the way I expected. He taught me to love myself even when I felt unlovable. I had to learn to forgive myself and be grateful to God. I had to learn to speak kindly to myself. So a part of mental illness is that you have really bad, annoying, horrible thoughts sometimes, like you're a horrible mother, or you're a horrible wife, or you're a horrible person. So you have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. So what does this have to do with creation? Well, if Jesus created, and Jesus created me, Rachel's here. I love Rachel. I love you. She always says that they are made in the image of God. She always points out that no matter who it is, they are made in the image of God, and you have to love them. So I am made in the image of God, and I have to love me. Because if I don't love me, how am I supposed to love other people? If we're not kind and gentle to ourselves when we're in a place of hurting, how are we going to do that for somebody else? It's so important to love God, and it's so important to love other people. But we have to love ourselves too, to be able to get to a place where we can shine grace and love and mercy on other people. So God did end up healing me, praise God. I still, you know, have things that I deal with, but I'm okay. I am good. I get up in the morning. I don't feel like I have to sleep all the time. I don't have panic attacks every day, and it's all because God is so good and so faithful. He restores. So I have some scriptures that I have to really read a lot because they help me be okay. And they're not all about Jesus being the creator, but they're all about Jesus and what he does in and through us. So Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we are made in the image of God, and people around us are made in the image of God, and we don't get to hate them. I didn't say that. I am so sorry. My mother, it's been a year. On Saturday, this will be a year that my mom's passed away, and God is so gracious and so good that he let me forgive her before she died. So I had come to this peace and this realization that I loved my mom and that I wanted to have love from my mom. And I got that before she died. So I praise God for that. That is just by the grace of God. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." So I feel like that kind of gives him some of the responsibility, right? Like, we have responsibility because we need to repent of our sins. We need to go to him and ask him to give us this clean heart. But he comes in and he does the work. So if you feel like, you know, like he's far off, or that, you know, you keep struggling with something, he is faithful to do the work. We just need to go to him. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." So he has a plan for your life. He created you to do good works. He created you to be good. He created you good. He said it was very good. So when you're thinking that maybe you're not so good, or you're overcome with guilt or shame, you have to remember that God created you for something. You're very good. Philippians 1:6 says, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." Again, he's faithful to complete it. I tell my kids when they go to sleep that I want them to know that he's a good God, and that he created them good, and that he has a good plan for their lives. This next one is really big for me, just so that I remember. Ephesians 4:29 through 30 says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were marked with the seal of the day of redemption." So don't let evil talk come out of your mouth. That's talking about, you know, so that others hear you. You don't want to talk evil about somebody else. Like, I don't want to go around saying that I hate my mom and my mom is horrible, which I did do that for a long time. But I'm responsible for my words. I'm responsible for my words that I say to people. I'm responsible for words that I say to myself, whether I'm outright saying them or if I'm just thinking them. We have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. And everything should be fruitful that comes out of our mouths, so that we can grow and learn and be restored. Another one of my favorites, because it's all about him, is 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We get the part of confessing our sins, but he is the one that purifies us from the unrighteousness. Just have a couple more. Romans 3:23 through 24. "Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Jesus Christ." So we all fall short. We all sin. We all have something. I tell my Sarah that all the time, that we all have our something that we struggle with. But God is faithful, and he redeems us. Ephesians 1:3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love." He gives us every spiritual blessing. We are in Christ. We are holy and blameless before him in love. It's his love that purifies us. It's his love that restores us. It's in love we are created. Revelations 21:4 through 5. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated at the throne said, "See, I'm making all things new." Jesus makes all things new. There's going to be that day when he's going to restore all of creation. I got chills, because on that day when he restores all of creation, there's going to be no more hurting or crying. And one last slide. Colossians 1:19 through 20. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Christ, through the blood of his cross. So we're going to sing one more song, but I wanted to leave you guys with some things to think about. Repentance. If we repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if there's things that we need to repent of, I just want you to take this opportunity in this next song to talk to God, to repent of them, so that that way he can start that purification. He can come in and he can do a new work inside you. If you are hating yourself, or you don't like yourself, or there's things about yourself that you wish you could change that bother you to the point of worry or anxiety, give those things to God, because he wants you to know that you're good. He created you good. He created you for a purpose. If you have that guilt or shame, just let it go. Give it to him. Stand confidently in who you are in Christ. If the worship team wants to come back up, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you that you're the creator and the lover of our souls, Lord. I thank you, God, that you don't leave us alone, Lord God. You're always with us, and you're always seeking us and trying to get us to respond to you, Lord God, because your will is for us to be in relationship with you and to love you, Lord. God, I just pray right now that you be with your congregation as we have a time of reflection in this song. Father, if there's anything on anybody's heart that they need to give up to you, Lord God, whether they come down to the altar or sit at their seats, or maybe later today that they come and they talk to you, Lord, I just pray that they talk to you about it, Lord God. I pray that there's a time of repentance and a time of refreshing and a time of restoration, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.